8 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game tonight.
Let's keep it going now.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome in to hour number two. 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here hanging out with you until 10 o'clock talking about nothing. I don't mean I have nothing to talk about. I mean the Falcons did nothing today, and that is what we're talking about. It's been what we've been talking about, and a lot of people are not overly pleased. There's no denying that. Now, I'm not either. I wanted them to go for it. They didn't. I came up again with kind of a premise, a reason that maybe the inactivity of today, and I tried to explain it away. Maybe you have a better explanation. Feel free to join. 404-726-0929. But in coordination with how I felt after the draft, by taking Michael Penix, you told me that you're not really 100% all in, but you're also trying to extend a window. And I feel like parting with the assets you have in a draft to get someone today would have forced you to be all in, at the detriment of extending that winning window. And that just apparently was something that Terry Fontenot and the Falcons brass maybe weren't prepared to do today. Again, you also just don't know what the Giants were open to, what it would take for Azeez Ojulari. And maybe you should have been involved in other players earlier. Maybe you made a mistake, right? Could have been a situation where you thought you'd work your way into Ojulari and at some point you and the Giants would have a deal. And that didn't happen. And everyone else was gone. You know, it's the gif of Will Smith entering an empty room from The Fresh Prince. We all know it. The Giants say no to Ojulari. Will Smith comes in and looks for the pass rushers. They've been moved out already. And so you're kind of just left holding thin air. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe you should have been in on others. I don't have the reason. I just have reasoning, potential possibilities, but I also have the same exact frustrations as everyone else because I thought this team, and I still do, by the way, think this team is in a great position to make a run in the postseason. Could have been better. But again, I'll say it one more time, doesn't mean you can't win the Super Bowl. I'm told, without doing the research, I'm told there have been teams that didn't add at the deadline that have won the Super Bowl before. Now, I cannot confirm that because I did not do my own independent research, but I will lean very heavily on the prospect that it is unlikely that 58 times before every team, and they didn't even have a trade deadline back in the day. And so it doesn't mean you can't win the Super Bowl. But it does mean a little bit of frustration because it doesn't feel like you're really going for it. Maybe that ends up working out in the end. We'll find out. 404-726-0929. Tell me how you're feeling tonight. We start with Andre in Alpharetta. What's up, Andre?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Abe.
You got
it. Let me start off by saying I'm a season ticket holder. I'm my 10th year now, so I'm not only emotionally, but I'm financially vested with this team. Frustrated is what I was on draft night. I'm disappointed today. I got a feeling that Giants knew that we needed Azeez, and they held, you know, they wanted too much that Terry and the guys just would not do it. Possibly also they're hoping that there is no way that Judon is going to be this bad for the rest of the year. You're going from a guy that had 15 sacks last year that has 1.5 so far this year. The drop-off is just absolutely crazy for him. So, again, I agree with you. They probably didn't want to give up too much of a draft capital. But, again, I was hoping even if they went after, you know, and got Calais Campbell and brought him back to at least help with the run, you know, defense, that would have helped us as well. But, yeah, I'm disappointed tonight, but I'm hoping – that Judon get it together, we get Troy Anderson back. So there are some pieces there that should be working. And I believe Terry and those guys are going to make it do what they got to do. Hopefully Jake Lakin will scheme better as well.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. You know, I did see Calais Campbell's name as a potential. I was like, yeah, is he really going to return after this? But that goes back to what we were talking about. Like, the Dolphins should be sellers, and, you know, they're in that weird situation because of what they believe they should be in terms of competition. But they're like 7 games back of the Bills right now. I mean, I don't know what they're planning on. Continuing on the phones, we got my good man, Yo, hanging out with us. What's up, Yo?
What's happening, Abe? How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good, man. What's up?
Man, listen, I was sitting here thinking about it. I'm like, you know, seeing how we're last – wait a minute, we're not last in the division. We're first in the division. All right, so let me rephrase that. So seeing how we're first in the division at 6-3, we're one game away from actually matching our win total for the last 3 years, I am not freaked out at all. What I think that they're doing is that they're looking at what happens in, well, 90 days. 9 days, the season ends, and some of these guys on these losing teams become free agents. And that would include not just Ojulari, but that would be like Nolan Smith. That would be quite a few other players who were drafted then, not to mention the 7, possibly 8 quarterbacks that are going to be out there on the free agent market. And they're saying to themselves, we have very limited draft capital, not just because we were hit with the penalty from the NFL, but also we traded a few things away in order to get some of the pieces that we have. And then we had Caden Ellis come back from injury and show his butt on Sunday. I mean, he was instrumental in that game. And then we had Troy Anderson, who should be back in the mix come this week. So if you really overload that linebacker room with another guy who will be a free agent in 90 days, that's considering that we don't make a deep run into the playoffs, then you're really not helping yourself for that future. And we still do need to replace some tackles, okay? We need a left tackle to replace Matthew eventually. We need guys. So you can't just give everything away, especially if you can get through this year. And let's say we win 2 or 3 playoff games, including a Super Bowl. That'd be awesome to do that. You're still going to be in a position where you have to replenish some of the older folks on our team. I love Grady Jarrett, but honestly, we're going to get to the point where we have to get a bigger hoss in there. He's been great. As a fifth-round pick, he's been absolutely fabulous. He's done great things for the city. But Father Time is still undefeated. And so what they're looking at is, do we pay up our draft capital to take on the guy who we only have for this year because he becomes a free agent at the end of this year, and then we're stuck with just 2 or 3 draft picks going into next calendar year. So I'm okay with what they did. I believe that we're going to ride with the horses that we got in our barn, and I believe that the Falcons can still make a deep playoff run. Yes, we're not getting to the quarterback, but we did get 3 sacks, which was basically about 50% of what we had the previous 5 games, right, or 6 games. So I'm not freaking out yet. I won't start freaking out. And if I start freaking out, you know what? I'll tweet you about it, brother. Love you, dude.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Yo. Always active on Twitter. Look, and I think a lot of what he said is kind of how it boils down. There is a brainstorming of what can we afford to part with and not minimize our future. And I think ultimately, if there was a price that would have worked for the Giants, it was too high for the Falcons. Whether you like it or not, their decision-making was that we want to keep some openings for the future, and this is going to cost us that. And they were hesitant. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying I'm happy about it. I can at least understand it. And that's really the best I can do for you tonight here in Atlanta. I can hope to provide some understanding of why. I'm not going to be able to provide anything that says you should be happy about it, because you shouldn't. I'm not. I'm not going to fake like all is fine. I'm not happy about it. Because at the end of the day, and I said this on draft night, and I'll say it again today, I understand what they're doing. I think it limits your ability to win. And I am prepared to push all in at the expense of what could be a longer window. That's me. This is them. They're clearly not. That's why Michael Penix is here, and you hope it works out. And that's why you're keeping your draft picks, and you hope they work out. But I'm here to win now. And this team feels like they're in a position with the record they have, with the schedule they've got, with the offense they could put out on the field to compete. And I just didn't get that today, unfortunately. I think I understand why. Still shaking my head, though. One more call before we put a wrap on this one. We got Gabe in East Atlanta. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, Abe. Yeah, I think Yo hit it right on the head. I mean, he hit all the points. You start with the tampering. You lose that fifth round. And that's probably what we've seen a lot of the bargaining chips go through today. So, I mean, I'm neutral. I'm kind of like good. I'm glad Terry didn't overpay. And that's something he's shown that he's not going to do. And I appreciate that because with Dimitrov, he would have sold his bike, his mom's bike, and his kid's bike just to make something happen for us to end up with $30 million in dead money for Tyson Jackson, right? So I appreciate him not overreacting because this is one of the positions we haven't been in a long time, and that's in the driver's seat. And I'm glad he didn't get FOMO and decide to just, oh, I got to buy something, I got to push this button, and then overreact, especially knowing that you have somebody like Braylon Trice, you know, on injury reserve, who you draft to kind of fill that void of a pass rusher. I mean, I can't say that he didn't do his job, especially starting the season with trying to go acquire people like Justin Simmons and Judah. And I mean, who knew Judah was going to be out of shape like a stripper from Strokers? Like, nobody knew that. And that's what he's played like. So to go from that to where we are, I think we're in a great place. I mean, the pass rush is not great, obviously. And I fought a lot of that to Jimmy Lake, you know, and some of the personnel. We're not maximizing on the personnel because, I mean, Judah shouldn't be dropping in coverage. Luckily, we didn't get burned against Tampa when he did it, but you see it and I'm screaming, like, why is he dropping back in coverage, covering the running back? And he can't even, like, get off of a tight end block. So, you know, I think I'm really good with not overspending, especially like Yo mentioned, you're going to have the potential in the offseason to get Aziz in here at your price, at your cost, without giving up draft capital, because you were going to have to give up draft capital and some salary. So now you just get to negotiate on your terms, and it could be something long-term or not. And on my last part, I'll say is, you know, you mentioned it, like, it takes two to tango, so we don't know what the Giants wanted. And, I mean, we can't say Terry hasn't been active, because we had the same thing happen last year with the Commanders, where we tried to go after Montez Sweat and also tried to go after Jason Reddick with the Eagles. So, like, people are asking too much, and he's just not paying, and I appreciate that. He's standing on business.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Look, again, I think they've made it clear. They're not going to sacrifice the future just to try and go all in. They're trying to play both sides of it, and hopefully there's a middle ground of that that works. I'm concerned that there's not, and you don't get the now or you don't get the future, and you're kind of stuck with neither one. At the end of the day, this is a much better team, and they're going to have a chance. They're absolutely going to have a chance. But does inactivity at the deadline cost you? The other thing you mentioned, maybe you can get Ojulari in the offseason. Yeah, maybe. Or maybe in 10 days he signs an in-season extension with the Giants, and that's not a possibility. And I'm interested to see if that's the path, because that might be an answer as to why he wasn't moved today. They might be signing him. They have a good young defensive line. If they can ever figure out their quarterback situation, they got an okay setup at receiver as well. So we will see what the Giants' our plans are down the road. Ken and Owen, you guys are up next. We will continue this discussion. I got Caleb Johnson at 840, John Bryce, footballscoop.com to chat college football at 920. So a little bit of college football playoff rankings coming at 920 as well. But more on the Atlanta Falcons coming up next. It's Abe Gordon right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Pace yourselves. It's going to be a crazy night.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. Dave Gordon here, hanging out with you, talking about the Atlanta Falcons and the now past NFL trade deadline. You guys have been rocking and rolling all night, bringing more emotion than anything else, and I understand it. Look, after what we had to deal with the past couple of seasons, to now have a team that we think can go out on there on Sundays or Monday nights and win games, I mean, I don't want to say like it's new to us. Like this team has obviously competed before. It's been a little while, though, and sometimes you forget. Sometimes you forget. But now that we're here, we're acting like we got a shot, and we should. We should act that way. And when you watch the Commanders go and address an issue, when you watch the Lions go and address an issue, two teams that are in contention in the NFC, and you sit there and you're supposed to be in a group with those two teams, and you do nothing. Yeah, I understand why fans are going to be frustrated. I'm frustrated. I told you, I've tried to approach it with some reasoning, but I'm frustrated. And we're going to have to play the season out and find out if we are still in a conversation with those two teams. And even if we do lose to Washington regular season, doesn't mean we can't beat them in the postseason. Doesn't mean we can't beat Detroit. Not saying we will, not saying we won't. And like I've said, I'm not saying that just because you didn't add something today doesn't mean you can't win it all. That's not what that means. But I understand the frustration. I'm frustrated too. We got Ken in Atlanta chatting about the Falcons not doing much today, not doing nothing. What's up, Ken?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Listen, when they got the three sacks on Sunday's game, I was like, yay, three sacks. But then I was like, B, ooh, this is going to impact how they're going to approach this draft. If they had not gotten those sacks during that game, I wonder, would they have made a play? Now, sacks are sexy. We know that. Sacks are sexy. But right now, we have to look at it from the standpoint of, can you keep trying a way to apply pressure? Now, if your linebacker still can stay on point, and you can still apply some level of pressure, attrition throughout the season is going to affect what happens throughout the whole season. You got the teams, they're going to get banged up, beat up. And if by chance you do get your players all the way back up to speed, that might have been just a precursor to what might could happen. We don't have many draft picks. That's a consequence. So we kind of have to look at it from a standpoint of, yeah, maybe we're a victim of small success this past Sunday, or maybe I don't think it was an anomaly. I just think people have to keep on getting up to speed. But let's just see how it play out. The brain trust been good so far. No need to start trying to question it now. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. And look, I joked about it earlier. Like, I can't imagine that the three sacks came up and the coaching staff relayed to Terry Fontenot that, like, nah, we're good now. We're all set. Like, I can't imagine that really had that big of an impact. I can't say it had no impact. You have to wonder a little bit, but come on. That can't be the difference between you having Azeez Ojulari and you not. Three sacks against the Cowboys? That can't be the difference. And if it was the difference, someone should be fired. Now, I'm not sitting here calling for anyone's job. Someone turned the radio on, like, in just an instant, and all they heard me say was someone should be fired. That is not the case. Because that cannot be the full encapsulation of why the Falcons added nothing. Ah, we got three sacks. We're good. You add 3 times 17? Come on now. That's 51 sacks. We're good. We got this. We're on pace. I don't think that's how that discussion went. 404-726-0929. Back to the phones. We got Owen in Southwest. What's going on, Owen?
Hey, guys. My teacher always told me this. Failure to prepare is preparing to fail. And that's what I see here. I'm not gonna sit here and say this is pretty, because a blind man can see this is not good. Now, if you got to apply pressure with your inside linebackers, Kane Ellis, that's not good, guy. That's not good. So it leads me to sit here and wonder, what are you doing with Orocho and the other guy from Ohio State? Are you saying that they're bust? That's where I am. That's the drain pipe I'm going down. That's a different drain pipe I'm going down. I'm not talking about what everybody else talking about. You're saying that these guys that you got this year, they're no good. That's what you're saying. We can't get pressure on the quarterback. And when we go to, if this continues and we play good teams in the playoffs and you don't get home, we're going to be at home in the first round of the playoffs. Come on, guys. Let's look at this for what it is. But I hope it can get better, and there's always hope. But right now, looking at it, it's not good, guys. It's not. And that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, I understand what feels a little bit like despair in regards to this, because the offense can win, and right now it feels like the defense, specifically the pass rush, cannot. And if it can't do that in the regular season, it's certainly not going to do that when it's good team, good team, good team, good team in the postseason. I understand that. The other thing that maybe we're discrediting, and it's not going to make a difference this year, there's no denying that. But don't forget that Braylon Trice was expected to have a big role in the pass rush this season, and he got injured before we even got to week one. Maybe they just feel real strong about Braylon Trice coming out next year and being gangbusters, and now we're off and running. But, yeah, look, Rucarororo's been relatively quiet. Brandon Dorlus can't make a game day inactive, and they say they like his development. They like what he's seen. They say his time will come. What the heck does that mean, man? It's week 10. When his time will come? Wait a minute. Just roll him out week one of the playoffs and be like, now is your time. Have at it. What is it, some secret Inigo Montoya special weapon? I did not know I was left-handed. Here you go. Is that what we're doing? By the way, I mean, you want to talk about a long con? If they could pull that off. You should. If they pull that off, you could rename Coach of the Year after Raheem Morris.
Absolutely.
If that's what's going on
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure I buy that, even though I just made it up. That'd be incredible. That would be incredible. But yeah, I understand. Like, you're doing things you shouldn't have to do to get pressure. I do want to say this, by the way, before we get to Alexander and Wayne and wrap things up. I understand Matthew Judon hasn't put the total sack numbers that we would like. He kind of, and single-handedly is not the right term, he has made two game-winning plays. He has made two game-winning plays. There was a screen play last week that goes for a touchdown if he doesn't deflect it. And we know about the deflection that turned into a pick six earlier in the season. He is making a difference. I understand the sack totals because I'm right there with you too. As much as we're frustrated with not getting a player today, I'm frustrated that Matthew Judon doesn't have 5 or 6 or 7 sacks and is nowhere close to the league lead. I get that too. I am. But I'm also not going to pretend like he's done nothing for this team either. He has. He has made very specific impacts. They weren't sacks, but two deflected balls changed the course again. Don't get it twisted. That screen pass is a touchdown if he doesn't deflect it. All right, we go on with Alexander out in Riverdale. What's up, Alex?
Hey. I'll be quick. Really good show. Hey, I understand your sentiment. I'm one of those in the beginning of the year. Like, I called in. Our defense is below average. I think the biggest issue and why you probably want us to go get someone is that we haven't had the development on the defensive side of the ball in the past couple of years.
Right.
Even with our homegrown talent. This is what I will say. And A, the NFC isn't good enough to where the Falcons have to make a move. And the reason why I say that, our development is on offense has been a lot better than what I anticipated. Now, we have had development in Moody. We have started developing our running game. Our offensive line is starting to be consistent. A, I'm going to be honest. I agree with you. But I think Terry Moore just performed so much in that we can't go get assets like that. Because if you think about it, we had a couple reaches in the draft. I'm not going to try to pronounce the guy's name, but you're right.
Aurora, yeah.
Oh, okay. And so when you look at our draft picks outside of, I think, Phillips, Helms last year, most of our draft picks really haven't hit. So to be honest, Abe, I understand why we should have went and got someone. But to be honest, the offense is carrying us. I just want our defensive line and our defense to be average. If we can just be average, we're going to finish in the top three. But completely understand the sentiment, but because I don't know who Terry has targeted and if he's going out, he's going to go out to get that type of player, I'm okay with standing pat and allowing Kirk Cousins to get us where we got to go, man. And that's what I got.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, and that's really the hope, right? Like, you're obviously, you're always going to be an offensive-led team. You hope you can ramp it up defensively enough to win some games in the playoffs. And look, you had three sacks. That's not nothing. Now, again, it's not enough to prevent you from making a move. But three sacks is not nothing. If you can find ways to create those game-changing plays throughout the rest of the season, I think we'll feel a little bit, like, look, We got another opportunity on Sunday to go get three more or four more. Yeah, we get another three, right? That's called a winning streak. I'm told it's happened before. I'm just saying, like, I mean, if we go right back down to zero, it's going to exacerbate the fact that you did nothing. If you get three or four against the Saints, now we're starting to say, okay, it's not traditional. Judon's not wrecking everyone and whatever, but they're finding ways to get the quarterback on the ground now. They weren't doing that 2 weeks ago. Maybe they've learned something. And so that's going to be part of the process too. Now, the problem is when you figure out that part of the process, if you were right or wrong, it's too late. If you figure out the three was the anomaly and not the new normal, it's too late. And that's the concern. One final call, real quick. We got Wayne in Decatur. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, what's going on, Abe?
What's up, man?
I think this is a great conversation piece, but it's relatively easy to dissect. The thing is, we don't have the draft capital or the personnel to initiate a trade. I, like you and everybody else, I know the need. I want an edge. I want somebody to put pressure on the quarterback. We hadn't had that since 2012, and that was John Abraham. So I understand the need, and I want the need. And since the team is finally winning, we want it all. I'm a fan like everybody else. We want it all. But the thing is, you still have to draft for the future. You got Braylon Trice that's essentially going to be your third-round pick next year, too, since he didn't get on the field. But you didn't have any chips to negotiate with. The thing is, Caden Ellis, when he was in New Orleans, had a seven-sack season. There's nothing wrong with putting him on the edge. You get your athletic linebacker, Troy Anderson, back to go along with Landerman. You can create pressure with Caden Ellis. He did it Sunday. So just put him in different areas of the field and take advantage of his natural ability to get to the quarterback. You saw it Sunday.
I appreciate the call, Wayne. And yeah, look, I mean, we talked about it. Like, there's a willingness to hold assets for the future that I think is part of the discussion. We'll continue that a little bit later in the show. But when we come back, Caleb Johnson is going to join me. Look, it's NFL trade deadline. We're caught up in the NFL season. We're caught up in college football. The Hawks have played darn near double digits. By the end of the week, they will be. What's going on with this team since the start of the season? Let's get a catch-up, a little refresher, with my man Caleb Johnson on the other side. It's Abe Gordon in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
I think we ain't done yet.
Letting the spit fly.
For me, it's the intensity.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. Been a lot going on. Been a lot going on, and you could have missed it. I certainly have, and so it's time to talk about it a little bit and get caught up. The Atlanta Hawks season is underway. Caleb Johnson joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Of course, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Hawks insider and reporter, and most recently you've been hearing him a lot on the Hawks pre- and post-game shows as well. Caleb, look, I just got back from vacation, and before I left, the Hawks were off to a pretty good start to the season. I get back on dry land. I don't think they had won a game since. So Kind of catch me up. I mean, they're 3-5 right now, just in general, and we'll get into specifics of players and development and mindset and all that. But just in general, even with the injuries that they're dealing with, what do you make of the 3-5 start?
Yeah, Abe, it's been a bit of a weird start, quite honestly. I think they were fortunate to begin the year playing the Brooklyn Nets, who are quite obviously in a bit of a tank mode, and then follow that up with the Charlotte Hornets, who, you know, want to be better, but are still very much led by a disastrous LaMelo Ball, who's a bit selfish and all over the place. And so you got off to a good start with those two teams, and then, you know, you're hit smack with the number one seed in the West last year in the Thunder. And okay, you can expect a little stumble there. Then you go and play the Wizards, and hey, I mean, the Wizards are actually a bad basketball team, but somehow they beat you two games in a row, getting hot, shooting the ball, and then as you run into injuries, and then what, Sacramento, and then you get a nice little win over the Pelicans on Sunday. You're feeling good about yourself because, hey, the Pelicans are a banged-up team, but you are as well. And then you have to come back and play the Boston Celtics, the former, you know, the reigning champions, who were just chilling in Atlanta for the last couple of days before they had to play you. Meanwhile, you probably only got a couple of hours of sleep if you're the Hawks before you had to get up, go to shoot around, and, you know, have this whole game. Well, I guess they didn't have shoot around yesterday, but still, it's just one of those. It's been a tough little bit of a schedule just so far overall without having the injuries. And then you throw on top of, I mean, this is a roster that you could talk about depth, and sure, it is better in spots than it's been in the past. But this is not a basketball team that can really deal with injuries, and especially some of the areas that they've dealt with injuries, of whether it's been at guard, you know, and then a couple of their strong defenders. When you have been missing DeAndre Hunter for quite some time, but you missed Dyson Daniels for a couple of games, and you saw the difference of like, okay, no Dyson Daniels in the lineup, this team is an absolute disaster defensively, especially with no DeAndre. So it's been a weird one, Abe, and I unfortunately don't think it's going to get any easier, quite honestly, as the East has been very much a conference that is showing that, yeah, this is going to be anyone's conference up for grabs. It's the top two teams. It's the Celtics and the Cavs, and then it's everyone else who's going to be just fighting for a spot amongst the mess. But with the Knicks coming up, and then you got to face the Celtics, I think, next week. Like, things just don't get any easier for this team.
Yeah, you got games coming up. You do get Detroit and then the Bulls, then Boston again, as you mentioned. That's on November 12th. Well, again, before we get into the other players here, Caleb Johnson joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta Hawks reporter here for 92.9 The Game. Let's forget what the record is now. I want to ask you, what were your expectations for this season coming in? And then on the backside of that, have they already changed just 8 games in?
I don't think the expectations have changed. The expectations were always pretty low. This team was expected to, like, this is a season of development. This is a season of, as much as Trae Young said last year and as much as he said in the offseason, hey, I want to win. Well, guess what? You're still playing for the Atlanta Hawks on a basketball team that drafted the number one overall pick and changed their focus, I think, when that happened, of, hey, instead of us trying to be a win-now team, we're going to be more of a team that has young players that we're trying to develop. You're seeing that. I think I took the mindset of, hey, this is a team that could really surprise a lot of people, because I think so many people were down on this team because you traded away a guy like DeJounte Murray, and what you got in return wasn't the big flashy names. So you had the expectation of, okay, well, this team's just not going to be as good because they didn't go get a DeMar DeRozan. They didn't go get, you know, some other big free agent names. They didn't trade for anybody that was a big standout name. However, I think that potential is still available because of how bad the East is for the Hawks to end up surprising people and being a play-in or maybe somehow squeaking away to being a playoff team. But this season was all about development, about, hey, let's get the rookie Zachary Risacher, you know, feeling comfortable. He's young. He's 19 years old. He's got to get his feet out from underneath him and figure out, you know, what it's going to be like to play an 82-game regular season. Meanwhile, he was playing overseas at about, like, 30 games a season. So, it's, you know, it's a pretty big difference that he's going to have. Then you got a guy like Dyson Daniels, who is young, hasn't played a whole lot for the Pelicans, but what we had seen from him is some really strong defense. And then I think, you know, what everybody's been waiting for is the emergence of Jalen Johnson. We had not seen that in the first, honestly, four games, you could say. I mean, there had been spurts where his stat line was good, but I think Jalen really, that New Orleans game, he stood out. And even last night in a big-time loss, I think Jalen himself played particularly well, even if the rest of the team didn't. And that's something that, you know, we're going to be looking to see increase as we keep going, as he's going to be a guy that a lot of people have kind of circled as potential comeback player of the year, or most improved, I should say, most improved player of the year kind of a type of a player.
Caleb Johnson, Atlanta Hawks reporter here for 92.9 The Game. So let's go to Zachary Risacher then, and maybe what you've seen from development from him. And then also how it's different for him than maybe he would have thought or the team would have thought because of injury, he's now forced into that starting role.
Yeah, I think that's a part of this that's definitely changed things is I thought coming into the season that there was a very high possibility that DeAndre Hunter was going to be playing on a different team just because I thought he would want that, quite honestly, and I thought the Hawks would go in that direction. It seemed rather apparent that his trade market was not that robust, very similar to, honestly, how things have been for Clint Capella. And so when he did return, it was like, okay, good. So Zach is going to have that opportunity to come off the bench with DeAndre, you know, doing his thing, especially you know, being a strong defensive point for this team. We should have expected this, though. Hey, we should have expected that because this has been every season that DeAndre Hunter has been with this team as he's dealing with some type of injury, and now we're dealing with injury management, you know, which is like somewhat being proactive and not wanting this knee to get any worse. Thankfully, he's actually been upgraded from out to questionable ahead of the Knicks game, so we might actually see him play against the Knicks. But all of that has really kind of changed what has been the role for Zachary Risacher, and I think it has thrust him earlier than you would have liked. I thought he might start coming into the year just because of how the team would want to split offense and different role players throughout, you know, their bench versus starters. But then it kind of made sense of like, all right, no, you want this guy to see how the game is settling in and then bring him to be a part of that off the bench and see if he can thrive in that role, knock down some shots. Well, with him starting, he is playing against the top competition of his opponents, and he's been exposed. It's one of those, I don't think it's really anything that you have to be that concerned about. We all knew, like even as great as Victor Wembanyama was last year, he got exposed plenty of times early on because that's just what happens to rookies. And so you were thinking, oh, well, Zach's going to be in a better position because he's not going to have to start, but he has as of late. And so I think he struggled as of late, and more so in the confidence area than anything, because whether or not shots fall, you know, Quinn Snyder talks all the time about it's not about whether or not they go in, it's whether or not you're comfortable enough to take them. And I think what I've seen from Zach is the shot, he's more confident shooting the ball, but his defense. I think he's been trying to figure out the NBA game, how to not give up easy fouls, and then just honestly, you know, getting acclimated with his teammates, getting into the playbook. I think it's just been an adjustment for him that we've seen some high points and some low points. It's kind of bounced up and down throughout the season, and I expect it to honestly kind of continue that way. It's one of those I would have loved for him to have had better games specifically against the Wizards, only because that is when the national media is going to kind of, you know, they're going to drop in real quick and be like, oh, okay, well, how did the number one pick do against the number two pick? You know, disregarding how the rosters are set up and expectation, all those sorts of things. And I don't think he had some of his best games in those matchups. But hopefully when they do face, you know, some of these bigger teams, that he can get more comfortable in himself and with his teammates, and that it'll continue to grow. Because, yeah, so far he's looked every bit of a rookie, and it's just what you're going to, you know, kind of get used to.
929 The Game, Atlanta Hawks reporter Caleb Johnson joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. One final question just about Trae Young, the start to the season he's had. Again, putting up crazy numbers at the start, and takes a little knock yesterday. Just the start of his season, and then also an injury update for him. Is he going to be good to go against the Knicks?
Yeah, I mean, to start off the season the way he's done so has just been really, really incredible. I'm trying to remember. I think if he's not been the highest scorer in a game, it's been Jalen Johnson. And, you know, and a lot of those have been Trey scoring, 30, 38, 35, if I remember correctly. Like, it's been some really strong performances, and that's without getting into the double digits assists in pretty much every game. At the same time, you had to be concerned about the type of minutes that Trae Young has had to play, because there's been no Bogey Bogdanovich, because there's been no Kobe Bufkin. Those were his two, you know, kind of backup guards, like who were going to play for him when he was off the floor. With those guys being out, then you have to start relying on a guy like Keaton Wallace, amongst others, who can fill in like the literal minutes, but aren't going to be as effective. And when you're trying to win basketball games, there's been a short leash on Trae Young, and he's been playing a lot of minutes. And that was the good thing about Sunday. He didn't have to play a lot of minutes, and they got the win over the Pelicans. And then last night, it just didn't look good. I mean, he looked tired, and you throw on top of it this injury that, I'll be honest with you, I had never heard before. I did not know you can sprain your rib. But apparently that is what happened to Trae Young last night. He had a right rib sprain in that fourth quarter for his lowest point total. I haven't looked at it yet, but I cannot remember the time that Trae Young scored 2 points in a game. It's got to go back a couple of years, I'm sure. He is probable ahead of the Knicks game, so that makes me think, because if he was questionable, I would say, okay, well, you got a true 50-50 chance of him playing. The fact that they listed him as probable means he's most likely going to play against the Knicks, and they need him, because this team would be absolutely lost without Trae Young. Obviously, Quinn Snyder the other night, after the loss to the Kings, comes to the podium, has his little rant about, you know, we need to really start writing about Trae Young, and then he leaves after, you know, that one little question. So it's been Quinn's wanting everyone to realize the impact that Trae has had. I don't know that national media has necessarily caught up, but that's nothing new with him. But I would fully expect that Trae's type of play that he's shown, and the leadership that has come along with it this season, is going to continue.
Caleb, always appreciate the time as the season continues. We will certainly welcome you back on the show, and make sure we stay in touch with what's going on with the Atlanta Hawks. Thanks so much, man.
All right, sounds good, man.
All right, there it is. We're all caught up now on the Hawks. I feel not better. I don't feel any better about the next 74 games of this season. It's going to be a long year. That's all right. We knew what it was going in. I mean, Caleb was right. This year's always about development more than anything else. Not the same case with the Atlanta Hawks, with the Atlanta Falcons, and not the same case with the Georgia Bulldogs. We got a lot to tackle here in our final hour. We'll get into it when we go outside the perimeter. A couple of stories I want to chat, and I've got Dom Turoski here with me. Look, this Joel Embiid thing is a big deal, and I want to talk about it. I know where I stand on what was written, what was said. We'll get into it when we go outside the perimeter. That's what's coming up next. It is Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.